very honored to be here today. Thank you for your kindness, your standing ovation. It's a great place. I am very humbled to be here. I was the first class to sit in this chapel, 1979. Dr. Hiles is my pastor for 25 years, and I love it here. Brother Fish, it's good to see you, sir. Dr. Cowling, good to see you. Brother Mike Heaton, good to see you, sir. We started the preaching service at Blaw Knox, where I was at. There was three men. I was preaching, two other men the first night. One night I come in, and Brother Mike Heaton was playing a guitar. I think he was playing the Beatles or Earth, Wind, and Fire or the Rolling Stones or something like that. Anyway, I asked Brother Mike, I said, hey, man, can you play any gospel hymns? He said, don't know any hymns. You heard that story. It just popped in my head. I'm gonna lose track of where I am and who I am in a few minutes here. This church had a big day, and the pastor had said the person who brings the most people to our big day can pick out three hymns on that day and we'll take care of it. So this little old lady won the contest. They invited her up, and she said, and the preacher said, ma'am, what hymns do you want? She said, I want him, and I want him, and I want him. And anyway, Brother Mike came and played Amazing Grace to the tune of Yesterday of the Beatles. And through that, Brother Mike got saved, came to church, got baptized, lived for God. And Brother Howell's married him. He's a great brother. I guess that's been over 43 years ago. And it's just a real blessing. Thank you, Brother Ray Young. I love you. You're one of my dearest friends in life. Brother Dave Douglas, thank you for your kindness while I'm here. And it's so good to be here at the Hiles Anderson College, my alma mater. I often see my brothers from college, and it gives me a great thrill to be here and to try and help you. Dr. Bill Pennell stood here one day, and he looked out, and is Miss Moffitt in here, by the way? She came to our church and preached for us at our ladies' meeting and did a really, really good job, and she's coming back again this year, and her and her daughter, we had a great time with them, and thank God for it. I do appreciate Pastor Wilkerson allowing me to come to Hiles Anderson College. I have not earned the right. I feel like I should be filling an act ed report. And I walk the hallways. The life changingest place in my life, Hiles Anderson College. And I'm gonna try and be a help to you today. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want you to open your Bibles with me. Brother Ray, I don't see time anywhere. Oh, yeah. It says something 20. Yeah. I'm old and my hair is white and I'm almost blind. The days of my youth are far behind. And I can barely see that clock. So if I'm still preaching at 12:30 or 1:30 or 2:30, we'll just have church. Amen. Yeah. It'd be the last time I'll ever show up. But anyway, we'll have a good time while I'm here. Amen. We'll speak to you on behalf of the KJV, not good news, some modern men of the enemy, but the King James Bible that God has given to me. And I'll really try and be a help to you today. God's good. And let's do that better. God's good. Everybody, God's good. Ladies, help me. God's good. Men, God's good.
All the time.
Ladies, God's good.
All the time.
And He is good. Men, God's good.
All the time.
And He is good all the time. He's a God of the mountain. He's a God of the valleys. He's always good. Amen. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians this morning. If you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll read to you there and try to help you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll go over the top and I'll put you on the spot and try to help you. And I'll try to do my best for the cause of Christ today. I'll give you a brief testimony of my own life. I don't do that much anymore. I was at Brother Shook some years back, and he asked to give my life story. It's the last time I've done that. I've decided to put all that behind me, and I'll be 67 on my next birthday, and I'm trying to live my life for the cause of Christ. and do what needs to be done. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says in chapter 6 at verse 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body, and for two, saith he, shall be one flesh? But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own?" Then verse 20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'll tell you what I'll do. In a few minutes, I'll preach a while, and then I'll run back, look at the clock, and run back and preach a little bit, and we'll get it done and get out in time for the glory of God. I would like to speak to you today on this subject. Do your best for God. You can close your Bible. Oh, you know what? They might want you to take your notes. I won't say anything worth writing down. If you'd like to just watch me and let me speak to you, let God speak to you, and let God work in our lives today, that'll be great. If I say anything worth writing down, you can do. I'm not sure how they want you to do that, but I would like to help you if I can today. The Bible says you are bought with a price. Young folks, let me ask you, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I'm glad to be here today at Hiles Anderson College. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, my eyes, my lips, my ears of clay. I yield myself to you and ask you to fill me with the mighty power of God once again and help me to preach to these young people. I know, dear Lord, I am probably the least likely of men to be standing in this pulpit, and I pray you'll help me, and I pray you'll bless me, and I pray you'll fill me. Watch over us, Father. In thy name we pray. Amen. Young folks, let me ask you a question, a good godly question. What did God get when God got you? Did God get a good deal? Did God buy something good? Did God make it for a good price? Did God get something good when God bought us? If God, on May the 27th, 1973, the year I turned 21, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Up until then, I lived in sin. I didn't have a God. My daddy was an alcoholic. My mother was a working mother. I was youngest of five children. I was in second grade. My dad burned our house down. I'd had a very troubled childhood. In my teenage years, I was rock and roll and drugs and motorcycles and public high school. And I had no real church in my background, no real God in my background. And I never had any real inkling for Christ. And then in 1971, I was voted the baseball player in Ohio, the player of the year. I went to Ohio State for the Ohio All-Star Game. I got to play with some athletic talent. And I was drafted by the Kansas City Royals and thought all my life was good. But I was so rebellious, I did not do that. My dad called me up. I went to my dad's house. A scout was there. I'm trying to hurry this up so I can get everything in. But I did not let them tell me what to do because I was such a rebel. I was... In my own town where I preach at, the state attorney called me the James Dean of Baptist preachers, a rebel without a cause. So that stayed with me even until this day. But anyway, young people, I was living by myself. I lived for a year by myself in an apartment. I rode a motorcycle, worked in a steel mill. And then the following year, I got married to my high school sweetheart. We've now been married 46 years. God's good, amen. Hey, if I don't tell you anything else today, y'all make sure you're married. Anybody, is there any married students here today? Single students? Anybody don't know? Well, anyway, any girls want to be married? Anyway, I got married. I was married for a year. We had a child. And the year I turned 21 in a very troubled state of my life, a new preacher from Dr. Ray Bainemuck out of California came to our church. And I went to church to hear him preach. That night he preached on Calvary and he said, "Your wife will go to heaven and you will go to hell. Your dad will go to heaven and you will go to hell. And Calvary covers it all." And I walked out and got there and I prayed and got saved. Amen. So I met to him and said, "I got saved. Trust Christ to be my Savior. On my way to heaven." Let me tell you something about it. I never, ever got over it. What can wash away my sins? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When I got saved, I never got over it. And from that day to this day, I decided to give God the very best I had and not quit, not cry, not give up, and serve God with my whole life. Amen. And would to God that somebody today would say, "Dear Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm not about to get over it." Amen. God God, deliver us from this kind of Christianity with no shirt and tie and no godly choir and no good songbook and no King James Bible. Now, look. Dr. Hiles taught me in the last days one of my battles would be over the Bible. And I'm too old to change. I believe God wrote that book. Every jot in that, I may be by myself, I'm used to it, amen. But I can tell you this today. The problem is we get over being saved. We get over being born again. We get over heaven being our home. I would say to you today, you are bought with a price. What did God get when God bought you? Do you know that God should get a good deal for what he paid for me and you? Let me quote you a poem that'll help emphasize my point. By the way, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. God gave you the gift of eternal life that you might have yourself born again and on your way to heaven. What a great gift. God, hey, if you're glad you're saved, let's give God a hand and thank God for being saved and on our way to heaven. Amen. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is Alpha. He is Omega, beginning and the end. And besides him, there's none else. And we owe him everything. This poem is entitled The Old Violin. And it goes like this. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. Who'll start the bidding for me, good folks, he said. Who'll start the bidding for me? $1 once, $1 twice, $2, $3 going, almost gone. And from the room far back, a gray-haired man comes forward and picks up the bow. He wipes off the dust, he tightens up the strings, and he plays a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The people cheered and they shouted, but some of them said, I know, the auctioneer said, he picked it up again and said, who'll start the bidding for me, good folks? Who'll start the bidding for me? 1,000 won, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 sold. The people cheered, but some of them said, we don't quite understand. What changed its value? And what change is worth? It was the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune is auctioned off to a thoughtless crowd. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, going, almost gone. But then the Savior comes and saves that man and changes his whole life. And the people cheer, but some of them say, what happened? We don't quite understand. And then he said, it was the touch. It was a touch of the master's hand. And if the master's hand ever touches you, I'll guarantee you, you'll never get over it. Amen. Your life will never be the same. God will do things for you that nothing in this world will ever do. Amen. I would say today, young people, Dr. Bill Pendle stood here and he said, sitting in front of me is the hope of America. And sitting in front of me today, maybe the very hope and salvation of America. And I would ask you today, my sermon, just today, right now, is give God your best. Give God your best. I want to say, number one, why should you give God your best? Number one, because of the price that was paid. Jesus Christ shed his blood. God gave his son to buy me and you. The price that was paid for our salvation was the greatest price that was ever paid. Without that price being paid today, I got to tell you, I've preached in Georgia and Florida and California and Idaho and Iowa and Indiana and in South Carolina, North Carolina. I've been blessed of God, but I can tell you this, nothing has ever changed my life like being saved and like meeting the Savior. Let me ask you, young folks, do you really know that you're saved and on your way to heaven and how good it is to be saved and washed in the blood and the price that was paid? I was sitting at the hospital one day, went to visit a family, And when I was at the hospital, I was talking to a lady, and the lady came in and said, "Look, sir, we're done. We don't want to preach here." And I said, "That's fine." And I got ready to leave. And Brother Ray, there's a man sitting in the corner, the older gray-haired man. He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'd like to talk to you." So I stopped, whatever, sat down beside him. His name was Mr. Vandal. And I got talking to him, and the lady came over there, and she said, "He don't want to talk to you, and we don't want nothing you got." I said, "Fine." On my way out, that older man reached in his pocket and pulled out a business card, and he gave it to me. Later that week, I went to his house, knocked on his door. A lady came to the door and said, "What?" The same lady from the hospital said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm here to see Mr. Vandal." He gave me his business card. "I'd like to talk some business with him, amen." She said, so he came to the door. She wouldn't let me come in the house. He came to the front. We talked. I went back a second, a third visit. On my third visit, he said, "Preacher, come in the house and talk to me." I did. And he said, "Let's go to the back bedroom." I said, "Why?" He said, "She wants to talk to me in the kitchen. I want to get saved." We went to the back bedroom, got on our knees. He prayed and got saved, washed in the blood. And God saved him, did a miracle. Miracle work in his life. Now, I'm going to tell you why, young folks, that I am the way I am, what I do, what I do. The price that was paid for my salvation was a great price. And I want God to know that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. And I am not going to quit. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to give out tracts. I'm going to preach on the street. I'm going to give out the gospel and do all I can do, because the price that was paid for me was a great price, and I want God to know that He got something good when God got me. Amen. Amen. That is good. Whoever said that, God's good. I give out tracts in the airplane, in the airport, everywhere I go, because the price that was paid for my salvation. You know, it's the least you can do. It's to give your best, because you were paid for by the best. Yes, sir. You were bought by the best. You were saved by the best. And by the grace of God, may you and I give our best because of the price that was paid for our salvation. It is not cheap. It is not junk. It is a real deal to be on our way to heaven and washed in the blood. I tell you what would be a shame. To let some gray-haired old man have more zeal for God than you do. Good, sir. Brother Mike, good to see you, man. Wave at me right there so I can see you. The story I told, pretty correct? Yes, sir. How you doing? Yeah. Amen. Got saved at Blood Knox when I was about 22, 23 years old. I had dark hair and longer hair and more hair, and now I'm gray hair and no hair, and God's still good. Amen. Amen. Because the price that was paid for my salvation ought to make me get up early and stay up late and be honest and pay my bills and go about doing good. Amen. Dr. Howell said this on the radio broadcast, be kind to everybody. Everybody's having a tough time. And why to go about, because the price that was bought for you, me and you, and paid for me and you, why to go about doing good, being kind to everybody, and serving God. Amen. I preached last night at the institution over to college, over to church, that God has not done with us yet. God is just getting started, and there's great things for you and I to come, and want to do all we can do for the cause of Christ. Amen. Life is short, I promise you. Yesterday I sat here. I don't think anybody, Brother Fisher, remember this, but in the old chapel, they had a certain amount of people who had to go to the cafeteria. Remember that, Brother Ray? And if your name appeared, you had to go to chapel. You had to go to the cafeteria and watch on closed circuit TV. I kind of liked it, because in them days we all carried briefcases. By the way, don't tell nobody I told you this. We all carried briefcases, and I put them in my lap, and I said just like this, "Amen. Glory to God." So we like to go into the cafeteria sometimes. I worked all night at a steel mill, had three children and a wife. Not anything like this. My whole life was different. Five of the hardest years of my life at Hiles Anderson College, but it set me up to make it where I'm at today. Dr. Hiles told me this. He came to my church to preach about 40 years ago. I sat down and had supper with him. And he said, "Ron, your preacher says you're a hard worker." I said, said, yes, sir. He said, I'm proud of you. I said, thank you. And this is what he said to me. He said, Ron, there are better students than you. He said, this guy, I come through, nobody knew I was here. I didn't care, I was under the radar. Brother Howell said, he said, Ron, I'm gonna tell you. He said, there were popular students, and he would set me down at Morrison's restaurant. He said, I'm gonna tell you, but on your way up, you'll pass some boys on their way down. I have no idea why I'm here today. When Brother Ray called me up to come back to, when I pulled the sword out last year, I thought I might have just severed all ties. Can you dig it? Anybody with me say amen? I didn't know where that was going to go, but I knew this. I knew this. How many of y'all remember my sword last year? Anybody remember that? You remember nothing else, but I bought a sword. You know what's a shame? How many men come through your life you never remember? God never touches you, never make an impact, never help you, never change your life. Inspiration, motivation, perspiration doesn't last real long. But if you let God change your life, it'll last till he calls you home. When I pulled the sword out last year, I thought, well, this might be it. But I preached a sermon. I left my pew pastor. I'm not backing up no more. I'm going to keep preaching the old Bible. I'm going to keep singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm going to be singing Amazing Grace till God calls me home. I'm going to keep preaching the old book till God calls me home. I'm going to keep winning somebody to Christ every day till God calls me home. I want to die an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, window rallying, shingle pulling, bomb storming, King James, sinner hating, sin loving, sin hating, sin loving, old fashioned Baptist preacher till God calls me home. You know what you ought to do? You ought to give God your best. You ought to give God your best. When I pulled the sword out last year, I thought, well, this may be it. But I'm going to give it my best shot and preach the best I know how. Sometime in the last year, Brother Dr. Ray Young, who has been one of my heroes since I was a college student. In 1977, Brother Vignette went to Windsor Hills Baptist Church, and they hired Brother Ray Young, Denny Kenniston, and Ray Moffat to be bus directors. And Brother Ray kind of became, I was working on Route 60C with Vance Olenhouse and Al Williams. Brother Ray Young called me up and said, Brother Talley, would you come back and preach in chapel? I said, are you sure? He said, yes, sir. I said, Pastor, work, is it okay to be coming back to preach in chapel? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, if you think it's okay, I'll come back. But I said, I think you messed up, amen. But that's what you want. That's what I'll do. But it's not really, if I'm preaching, and I told my church, if I'm preaching in Texas or in Hammond, or in Florida, wherever I go, I'm going to do the very best that I know how to do. And the least I can do is give God my best for the price that was paid for my salvation. How could I do any less than my best after all God has done for me? How can you do any less than do your best after God gave Jesus to save our souls, write our names down in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life, forgive all of our sins? A lady told me one day, she said, preacher, I understand how God gave me my sins today, but what about my future sins? When Jesus died, all your sins were future sins, and he forgave all of them for you. Today, young folks, I'm begging you by the grace of God, give God your best for the price that was paid for me and you. You can write it down. Give God your best for the purpose. He saved you for a purpose. He didn't save you to sit, he saved you to serve. And there's a purpose for your life. Brother Dave Douglas was telling us last night about somebody gave him a Bible tract in the military and he got saved through it. I found it to be a great story. But that man that gave Brother Dave the Bible tract didn't know he was going to get saved. How long has that been, preacher? 35 years. He didn't know 35 years ago when he gave you a tract that you'd be sitting here with one of the greatest student bodies in America. Here because they want to be here. Serving God with the Bible. Getting folks saved. Working on bus routes. Two little children, the bus route. Abducted by the cartel on the bus route. Touched by the Hiles Anderson College people in the First Baptist Church Hammond, Indiana. All because 35 years ago, somebody on purpose gave this brother a Bible tract. Hey, young people, are you serving your purpose? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Is your purpose great? What time is church at? 12? 8 minutes away? Young people, here's my sermon for you. Listen to me. Listen up. You ought to give your best to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You ought to decide that you will do no less. Ladies, can I tell you this? When I came to Hiles Anderson College, I brought a wife about 18, 19 years old with two babies. I was 21. I married a woman 2 years younger than me. And she stuck by me now for 46 years. In Hammond, Indiana, she carried 3 diaper bags. Miss Moffitt, that's why you come in, didn't I? My wife carried 3 diaper bags and 3 babies while I ran a bus route for 4 solid years. I didn't know how to, once I got a bus route, Brother Ray, didn't know how to get off. I didn't know how to quit and say, I don't want to be here no more. My children must say, Mama, who's that man comes in and kisses you and whoops us and leaves again? That's your daddy. She'd wake me up and I said, am I going to school? Am I going to work? Or do I get to sleep in? Oh, you don't get to sleep in. You get them doing something. Amen. Ladies, I'll tell you this. I'd rather be a good husband. Men, listen up. I'd rather be a good husband than a good preacher. I'd rather be a good dad. I'd rather be a hero to my children than a hero to all of America. You hear me? Please, please realize that you are here on purpose. And you are here because you're bought with a price. I would say to you today, I'm asking you today, in January, to give God your best. Give God your best. Let me get you to bow your head and close your eyes and stand up for me.